This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Welcome to 2026, everybody. We're going to start it off with Sarah Grace Patrick and this case, which was supposed to be the first case of the new year. It's going to be August, but we're still going to talk about it. We're going to get into where things stand right now, because 17-year-old Sarah Grace Patrick was supposed to go to trial today. At least jury selection was supposed to. She's charged with murdering her mother and stepfather while they slept in Carroll County, Georgia. Her 5-year-old sister found the bodies. Sarah called 911 for 5 months. She posted crying TikToks mourning the death of her mother and stepfather, reaching out to true crime creators, and gave an emotional eulogy. Then investigators arrested her, claiming mountains of physical and digital evidence, but still have yet to show any of it publicly. No confirmed murder weapon, no disclosed motive. The defense says they're still waiting on discovery, and what we've seen are TikToks, DMs, and a eulogy the sheriff's office calls odd. Joining me to discuss, former FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is here to help us break it all down. I know you've been watching it. You've been tweeting it. I've been tweeting it. We've been tweeting back and forth about it. I want to get into this because I'm very fascinated as to where everyone is coming from on this. I was on with Vinny the other night about it. Well, in late December. I'm going on tonight about it, too, providing we're still talking about it on closing arguments. Law enforcement has said mountains of physical and digital evidence since July here. But publicly, we haven't seen anything. We've seen TikToks. We've seen DMs. We've seen comments that people say her eulogy seems scripted. Yeah, and she's a teenager whose parents just died and she's giving a eulogy. What do you expect? Her grandfather, who lost his own daughter in this, says nothing puts the gun in Sarah's hand. You're calling it patricide on X on Twitter. Give me your thoughts here. Why are you coming into this thinking she did it? If that's where you're at today, give me your thoughts on this so far, Jen.
Yeah. So, Tony, a couple of things. First of all, this is what we know. She turned herself in. When I hear that, I am expecting that she was debriefed in a very specific way and manner that would disclose a lot of details. Anybody who debriefs somebody on this, in other words, interviews them about such a crime, those law enforcement officials are going to ask very specific questions that can be used to corroborate what she has to say. So I would believe, based on the fact that she's been charged, the evidence was presented to a grand jury and she was indicted, that she gave a lot of information that caused them to have an extremely strong case against her.
But turned herself in, can that also just not mean we're either going to forcibly come and get you or you can come turn yourself in? One of the two is going to happen. It's up to you which way you want to take this.
I was going to ask that as well.
You know, I didn't take it that way. But that doesn't look, law enforcement isn't going to just call up and say, hey, listen, if you don't turn yourself in, we're going to come get you. No, that isn't how it works. They would have went and arrested her if they had the information they needed. So I'm believing that the crux of their case lies within the information that she gave them. In other words, did she give them where the gun is, where she bought that gun? How she learned how to shoot that gun. Did she give them information pertaining to all the details, which is what she should have been briefed about? What made her do this? What was her motive? How exactly did she do it? What, you know, pushed her to the edge of doing it? I would expect all those details to be in a confession. And by the fact that she turned herself in, I think we can look for that.
It's a lot of ifs, though. We don't even know. We don't know if there's a confession. We don't know what they have. I mean, this is the whole thing about this. It's so hard to discuss. And this is what I was kind of chuckling about the other night when I was on Court TV, because it's like, this is just pure blank slate, you know, speculation. The entire case is, because we don't have anything. How odd is it to you that we really know next to nothing about this case, other than simply she's been charged? We know nothing of the evidence other than they say they have a mountain of it.
Yep.
And every piece of speculation, and it doesn't really, you know, our speculation, people's speculation doesn't really make a damn bit of difference. But it's everybody's looking at this with her digital footprint and her TikTok videos and her eulogy going, see, see, she must be this monster. I don't know. I'm just not feeling it.
Well, I mean, when you present it that way, I can understand why you're not feeling it. But I think just from a law enforcement perspective, knowing what happens when somebody turns themselves in, understanding the likely confession that is going to be corroborated by the evidence she gave them. In other words, she gave them information and then they corroborated it. In other words, following and tracking her cell phone, where it went, does that match up with what she says she did? Information pertaining to how she acquired that gun. Does that match up in her phone records, either her texting or calling the person or going to the location where she got the gun? And then where did she put it? Again, they're going to match that up with the digital footprint. I think that's what she means or what they mean. That's how I'm tracking this case. I agree with you. It's in the closet right now, but it's going to come to light and the grand jurors saw it.
They've kept a lot of this quiet. And I don't want to nitpick here, but if I were approached about something of this nature, I would turn myself in because I'm a law-abiding citizen. I wouldn't fight this. So I guess I'm leaning with Tony on this, that to me, turning yourself in doesn't necessarily implicate you in a crime.
Well, when I hear the words turning myself in, that means implicating yourself in a crime.
Interesting.
Did he turn himself in? A lot of people turn themselves in. A lot of people.
See, I would arrest because you. I'm not going to fight the system.
I mean, this happens all the time where it's like, we're going to come get you, or you can have until this time to show up and peacefully turn your ass in.
Or they'll show up with a battering ram. That would be my concern. So you know what? I'm going to do the law abiding thing because I'm a law abiding citizen. So that's where I'm coming from.
Huge difference. Diddy had an attorney. Diddy's attorney was in touch with authorities. He was allowed what we call a self-surrender. In other words, there was already a warrant. He was allowed a self-surrender. They do things when there's attorneys involved and they know where he's at and so on and so forth. That's a big difference from this situation. There's no attorney. My understanding, when I hear those words as law enforcement, that means she turned herself in for doing something wrong. That's way different than, hi, law enforcement, I'm here to be interviewed in case you have any questions. Big difference. How it's being termed is turned herself in.
But this is going to trial, too. This is not like, okay, I'm guilty. Here I turn myself in. Then we start, everybody jumps into what's the defense going to be? Are they going to go down the road of she was abused or this or that, and that's what made her do it? We're not even there yet. But a lot of folks are speculating that that's the way they're going to go with it. Some of the speculation as to why this has now been pushed out to August of this year is also for a mental health evaluation, which does seem to shine some light in your direction, Jen, if the mental health is going to be an angle of this, then we are kind of going down a road of maybe she did have something to do with this and they're going to go down a road of abuse of this or that. And in her mind, she saw no other way out other than this. But again, I just feel like this case keeps being built on speculative blocks. It's like a house of cards. Mm-hmm. And one of these goes out and everything that everybody's speculating on also goes out the window too. We just don't know much yet.
Well, we don't know a lot, but that's how cases really should be.
Frankly, within
the bureau, we didn't go out and tell anything to the media. You built this. The other issue I think is separating what happens in a law enforcement venue versus the legal venue. Meaning if somebody comes in and turns themselves in and wants to confess to a crime and you read them the Miranda rights and they waive their rights, that's it. I can ask whatever questions. They can pull their Miranda anytime they want and they're made aware of that. But I start writing and I start preparing a criminal complaint to charge. And that's really what it seems happened here. And then that information was taken to a grand jury and followed up by an indictment, which is typically how it goes in this case. You would file a complaint, and then you'd have an indictment. And they likely have sealed that. At least I haven't seen any of it yet. So then next, what happens is she gets an attorney appointed to her. You see, so basically their case is well down the road and she's already made a confession. And then now legals, you know, entities come in and say, whoa, 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 we're taking this to court.
Mm-hmm. So what part of this has to do with her being a minor? Do the circumstances change?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there's some circumstances that could possibly change, but her parents are gone. So who is there to sort of stand up as a guardian? So it's interesting to me. I think 100% there's going to be a confession. 100% they are going to argue mental issues. That's why they're taking months, 8 months to do this evaluation. They've said they wanted a report, so on and so forth. And it's going to be a bit of a battle of the experts, but they may just try to mitigate the crime that she did, if she indeed did it, by her mental incapacity at the time.
The family is saying, including the father of her mother, her grandfather, mm-hmm. who's dead, saying he doesn't believe that she could have done it. They're saying, and this is, you know, family through this party, that party saying this, saying that they didn't even have a gun in the house. Now, we can't verify that. You know, a lot of people have weapons and your parents may not know about it, especially if they're adults and the children are adults, as they were here. So I would imagine if she had to go to some length to secure a gun, you know, that would be found. I'm guessing there's probably, if there is a digital trail, it'll be pretty evident as to what she was up to if she had something to do with this. The family also saying that they haven't been given any sort of real solid pieces of evidence other than basically process of elimination of, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was something to the effect of, well, there's no one else it could have been. That's not an answer. That's not a you did this. It's, well, there's no one else it could have been. There's plenty of cases where there's no one else it could have been until there was someone else it could have been. I don't know. I'm very skeptical as to what sort of evidence they're going in here with, because they have released literally nothing. And other cases where they go in with guns ablazing, saying very, you know, strong statements, more times than not, it feels that it comes out as a very, very weak case. Take Richard Allen, for example. We got him. We got this. We got that. And you take a closer look, you're like, you don't have shit. I'm not saying they don't, but I would think the family, you know, deserves to see a little something to have some idea what the hell they're holding this young minor for murdering her family, other mm-hmm. than there's no one else it could have been.
Well, that would be ridiculous. You never hold somebody and charge somebody.
Well, there's a lot of ridiculous things that go on.
Let me juxtapose Richard Allen. First of all, you and I are very much on the same page.
Yes.
Richard Allen.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother expose that I need to spend months on revealing while that situation is an absolute travesty. But let me go aside from that for a minute and say, Richard Allen didn't saunter into police and turn himself in. So,
yeah, he did. I mean, he didn't turn himself in. He raised his hand and said, "How can I help?"
He showed up and said, "Let me help." Yeah.
Really, how it happened was he mentioned something to the local ranger or whatever. This was a long time ago when it first happened. Right. And he said, "Hey, listen, remember, law enforcement was saying, anybody who was on the Monongah Bridge that day, come forward."
And he did.
If you're a male, whether you're a female, it doesn't matter. We need witnesses. We need to know who's there. And so he stops a buddy and says, "Hey, listen, I just want you to know I was there." And they took the report. Mm-hmm. And that was that until 5, 6, 7 years later, all those years that they ended up charging him. So I just want to say that's very much different than this young girl, in my opinion.
In that aspect, yes.
Yeah, in that aspect. As far as the evidence, just because we don't see it because they haven't released it doesn't mean it's there. In Richard Allen, we saw it and we all said, "What? This is it?" You know, you've got spent bullet that you didn't even find on the first search, you know? And if anyway, I don't want to get too much down that road. No, we're talking about Sarah, but this is not that case, in my opinion. And the fact is, you mentioned that her attorneys want this mental health evaluation. Mm-hmm. That's a red flag to me.
It is. And I agree with you there. And I'm very curious as to where that may lead us as this continues to go down the path. I guess what has been so striking to me, and I'm really curious to kind of get everybody's opinions here on this, is the TikTok videos and the eulogy, because this seems to be those who are vocal on the internets seem to be, you know, putting the feather in their cap on that, going, look at this eulogy. It's so odd. Look at her TikTok videos. They're so odd. I look at these things and I'm like, yeah, she's like a 16-year-old giving a eulogy. It's going to sound scripted. I didn't see anything odd about it, quite honestly. It looked like someone who was very sad that there was this loss in her family. In the TikTok videos, she's not like on TikTok, like stripping, going, thank God mom and dad are dead. She's crying and mourning. And that's not that crazy for a 16-year-old to do. That's how they do that these days. I know it seems odd. I wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. We weren't raised in a world where you go publicly mourn on video. They are raised that way. They're a different type of animal these days. So none of that stands out to me as like super suspicious or weird. How does that, is that just, you know, the internet and speculation and people are just trying to find something? Or do those actions, the video, the eulogy, does that read to you as odd? Are those red flags in your, through your prism, Jen?
Well, this is the deal. If she hadn't been indicted and charged and sitting in jail right now, perhaps they don't look odd. But when you see it backwards, you know exactly how we're viewing it, that, oh my God, if she went in there and executed her sleeping parents for her 5-year-old sister to find, wow, that is just sick that she make a eulogy like that. And flaunt the situation, call attention, almost like she wanted people to see her work. She wanted everybody to see this with her TikToks. You know, she wanted to call attention to herself. That's where it gets eerie and it gets weird.
But what teenager doesn't call attention to themselves? So looking at it through that lens, and Tony, you talked about this just now. This is how they view life. Their lens is, I need to put this out into social media, into the public. Whereas maybe our generation, we try to keep things a little bit more private. So it's hard for me to see this as, well, she's out there saying all this stuff. Well, that's what they do. That's what this generation that's how they've been raised. They don't know anything any different.
But not when you're the murderer.
No, but again, it's a jumping point. You got to kind of, and if it is that way, Jen, yeah, it's creepy as shit. It's like, God, how could somebody do this? And if that turns out to be what it is pretty, I mean, it's like, that's narcissism to the nth degree to be doing that sort of thing. And look, I'm not saying that it couldn't be that. It very well could be. I'm saying I don't know. But at the same point, it's not abnormal behavior for someone who did lose their parents to be mourning in this sort of way. So that's where it's like, it doesn't become a red flag to me. Like this is, they're searching for attention. They're searching for, I mean, if it wasn't death, she'd probably be on TikTok doing something else. But that itself doesn't lead me down the path of she must have killed them. I would be far more alarmed if she was on TikTok, you know, dressing, you know, a certain way and acting a certain way with no care in the world after her parents were dead. That would be weird to me. What she's doing, I don't know. It looks like this is how she's, you know, dealing with grief in a weird public way.
Well, one of the statements she made, and I'm going to paraphrase, but there's the effect of, you know, you guys need to take a look at this. This is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I think basically this could help your, you know,
this could be big, is what she said.
Yeah, this could be big.
Again, I don't see anything weird about it because, I mean, because look at it from her perspective. If you're a 16-year-old, the murder of your mother, and I'm just going to say her mother because it doesn't seem that she was super close with stepdad and there was drug issues there. And yeah, she'd been saying for years to the system, I don't feel safe there. They knew there was meth issues. Mom tried to kill dad and the system still said, guess what? You get to go live there still because our system works so lovely. None of that really seems to be weird to me. It's like, yeah, and I don't know, you know, I don't know. None of it really reads to me as being anything criminal that took place.
Maybe not criminal, but certainly no matter what weird. I don't know if any of you have lost your parents. I've lost both of my parents. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, and you know, I'm on social media all the time. And I know I'm a different vintage than these young girls, but it is really odd if you have any love at all for your family that you would want to say, look over here. This is kind of cool. My parents are dead.
Maybe. But she didn't say that. She said this could be big, meaning this could get a lot of attention, which it could. And it certainly is getting attention now. And if you're sitting there and this case is unsolved for four or five months, you're like waiting and nobody's paying attention. Well, how do cases tend to get solved? How do slow cases tend to get attention these days? Podcasters, internet, social media. She knows this. She's from that world, that generation. Where do you go? You don't go to law enforcement and go, could you guys please do your job better? No, you go to the media. You go to podcasters and you go, this could get you a lot of views because your goal is to get attention to find out who killed your parents. And so you're going to use terms that may be, you know, incentivizing to that creator to pay some attention there. That's how it reads to me. I mean, if it's just the dynamics of how it works today is kind of how I look at it. This is just the terms that are used. It could be big. It doesn't mean that you killed your parents. It means this will get attention to a case you want solved. That's how it read. But I think it's a lot of the perspective of how we're taking those words, and they mean very different things to different vintages of people.
Yeah, no, Tony, I agree with you. We are in a different era, but I did not see that was her call when she was doing these TikToks. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, my case is unsolved. Please, please come help. We need to get the word out. We need to look for a killer. That was not at all the vibe. And again, I think now when we look in retrospect, you know, her being charged, mm-hmm. but saying they have a lot. Again, she was only 16. She was a minor. And so a lot of that, none of it's been released. We haven't seen it. But Tony, can you imagine if she's convicted and you guys, all of us here get to see all this evidence, it's going to be really sick to look back if she's responsible. Sick, really sick.
It may be. And you're maybe exactly right. I may be completely the wrong side of the tracks of this. I'm just saying there's not enough to be, I feel like, down the road of like, she's 100% done. I just don't. We've seen too many cases that get railroaded in one direction without any evidence, and I still haven't seen anything, Stacey.
And yeah, thank you. And don't forget, too, you know, there was some drug dealing going on here, too. So anytime you enter that facet of the story, you've got some really shady people. So who knows? Somebody in our chat, and I'm so sorry, we've had a lot of messages come through. I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Jeannie, said, could this have been a hit? Could this have been a drug deal gone bad? I mean, it kind of feels that way, even with this component of Sarah going on TikTok and whatnot. But we've got drugs involved. This isn't just an innocent family here.
Well, to me, the reason I don't see that component is because she turned herself in. And I have gone through what that means to be a law enforcement officer and what happens following that. But believe me, law enforcement doesn't want to try to put people behind bars that aren't responsible. I mean, that's not typically their goal, unless you have a sheriff's race going on in Indiana. But nevertheless, I digress again.
I mean, we see that a lot too, where it's there's a lot of moving parts here. There's some more months for this to be evaluated. They've been very tight-lipped for all this time so far. I don't imagine we're going to find out a whole lot between now and August, but we will, of course, keep following it and seeing where this lands. But as of now, I don't know. I just don't know. I could be completely off. We may find those mountains of evidence, and they may be pretty damn steep. Or they may be complete molehills, and somebody pulled a lever and said, we're going to go down this road and go after her, and nobody wants to be wrong for saying that, and they just keep piling on. We've seen that, too. We just don't know. But it is interesting to understand it from all these perspectives and getting your understanding of, okay, turned herself in. This is what this may mean or why this may mean this, to try and balance it. There's a lot of questions and not a lot of answers yet. And now we got 8 more months to speculate. Right. So there we go. Let's move on. Go ahead, Jen.
Just say one last thing.
Yeah.
For her defense team to ask for this evaluation, which is going to take 8 months. That's how much time they're giving for everybody to evaluate and reports to be written. Listen, this would not be their posture if they didn't have mounds of evidence. Their posture would be, oh my gosh, I'm going to blow this up. She wasn't here. She wasn't there. There's no confession. She doesn't have this. She doesn't have that. But no, it's, can we get her mentally evaluated? Because maybe that's going to explain why she took the actions she did. That's my view.
Or it may say she's completely stable, insane, and all these accusations, there's nothing about her that goes down that road. We just don't know. But yeah, but if we're weighing it, and what does it typically mean? Yes, you are exactly right. But we don't know. We just don't know.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.